This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in, General, at your service. Salute to you. There's Broadus in his LSU purple, proudly sporting it. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup. Of course, Eric Chiafalo is here, but Wolchuk is not. He has succumbed to the illness.
The sickness.
Overcome him.
He's down with the sickness.
He fought through that yesterday, though.
He was fine.
That was rough.
Yeah, but he also said some pretty damning things yesterday. And I know we all walked out of here feeling a little bit concerned about some of the stuff that he was talking about on the air. And we'll revisit a couple of those things later on in the program.
Cannot wait.
We might point to why he feels so sick today.
Well, I do know he passed a COVID test yesterday.
Okay, that's good news. That's a step in the right direction.
Do you think it was medication? You think he did the show? You think he's got the Eddie the Eagle, our goalie, you know, he took the cough medicine and was saying some crazy things, acting crazy ways?
There's a lot of evidence that would support that, Broadus. And
he was overly medicated.
I don't know if it was over medication. Yeah, I can see that. Certainly over consumption in some form or fashion. And so we'll address it and, you know, tail the tape. I and the sky don't lie.
I've never known Wolchuk to be under medicated. You know,
yeah,
I can go that far. That's also a good point.
I think that's a really great point. Yeah,
you do have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Cowboys are traveling today, right? They're flying to New York.
Yep. Usually the team on road trips will leave about 1:30, so we might be in the air right now.
Well, best of luck to you guys. I'm sure many of them are streaming us here on your home of the Cowboys. Best of luck to you there in New York, where they are nearly a touchdown favorite.
How about that?
Significant. So Vegas still favoring them. For me, you know, I think Vegas is kind of slow to adjust on things like this. And maybe they're taking advantage of the public, you know, naively believing the Cowboys are still better. But I just don't think there's any evidence or reason to believe that the Cowboys have any sort of an edge going into New York.
Yeah.
Coin flip game between two disappointing teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas has been wrong here plenty with some of these big favorites. Not just not covering, but losing outright.
Yeah.
So the thing that's tough for me is trying to gauge not to overreact on the Giants' behalf after they just beat the Browns, because we know just how bad that Browns football team is.
Yeah.
So them winning that. Now, granted, they won in a way like they cranked it up the level of difficulty when they started off with a fumble on the opening kickoff, and then Deshaun Watson makes his one good throw of the day to Amari Cooper, and you immediately, after receiving the opening kickoff, go down 7-0, and then you find a way to end up winning because you're clearly the better team. I just don't know how to gauge the Giants after a game like that, because I still don't have much in the way of respect for them.
No.
But then on the flip side, the Cowboys look that bad right now. I mean, this is code red. We are absolutely bottoming out and look terrible.
Yeah, this is more about the Cowboys maybe have slid all the way down to where the Giants are.
Yeah.
Giants are at home. It's a Thursday night football short week situation, which penalizes the road team even further. You know, I don't know about you. I hope this is rock bottom, and from here we ascend to more respectable football, because at some point we're going to be waiting for this team to make a jump from, you know, pathetic to really dang good. And if you can be just average this year, if you can hold out with this core of young football players and prevent yourself from falling into the absolute cellar, then I think you have a more easy case of, hey, if we can draft well again next year, if we can develop some of these young players here in 2024, maybe we could become a contender again. Because right now they clearly aren't, and they need multiple player acquisition cycles to get back there. We do know Adoree Jackson is now out for the Giants.
Yep,
huge. And so is Drew Phillips.
Huge. Drew Phillips is big for them, too. That's their nickel. So, yeah, this will be an interesting contest. I kind of go back, and we start to talk about the Giants. I go back to their game against the Commanders in Week 2. They had 127 yards rushing in that game. You know, and we kind of talk about how do you handle the inside players for the – or the inside the tackles –
For the Commanders.
Yeah, and the, you know, the linebacker. We feel like the Commanders are, they're clearly a better team on offense. You know, defense might be a little bit of a problematic thing. But when you're averaging almost 6 yards a carry against them, and then, you know, that's your runner, and then the quarterback's averaging 6.5 a carry there.
It does not bode well.
No. See, that's the thing. You know, it's, to me, this is not, yeah, the Giants probably aren't any good. But your defense right now, the Cowboys, is not any good. You can't defend the run. And if you're the Giants, and I'm going to say, okay, how's my path of winning this game? Don't turn the ball over and run it as many times as you can. Yeah. That's what teams are doing. I mean, in the NFL, there's like 50% of the plays, over 50% of the plays that the Cowboys face are running plays now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They just, there's no reason for teams to get out of the mode of running the football on you.
And when it comes to stopping the run, I know they have Dexter Lawrence. You're going to preview the defense quite a bit for us coming up at 3:40. Yeah. How's their run stuffing been?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm, you're dealing with a team that could kind of make, the way to beat the Giants, in my opinion, is you could block their, always say this, you could block their front, because they do have some, the two legitimate pass rushers, the guy in the middle, Lawrence, is incredible as a push defensive tackle, and the pressure he gets, their secondary is a problem.
They're not good.
Yeah. Can your tackles and your center hold up in this game?
Yeah.
If you can, there are plays to be made. Mm-hmm. If not, if all of a sudden Dak drops back and there's pressure and he gets hit and the ball's in the air and all these things happen. But the Giant, this is not the Giants of old. They've got skill players now.
Yes.
On the offense.
They hit.
Then they can run. Mm-hmm. And they can run the ball. And they got a quarterback that can run the ball, which is problems for you. On the flip side of that, though, can you block their front? And there's a couple of times where even the Saints, you didn't block the Saints particularly their front very well. Didn't block the Ravens. Ravens got a decent front. Didn't block them particularly well until the fourth quarter of that game. So, yeah, if you don't block Burns and you don't block Thibodeau, and you let that monster in the middle just push you back into the quarterback's lap.
Dexter Lawrence.
Over at that point.
Now their secondary is a little bit protected because you're giving up pressure.
I mean, a lot of quarterbacks can mitigate some pressure. If you say you're going to be pressured a lot and you can't run the football, it's over. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are.
I'm saying Dak handles blitz.
Yeah.
That's fine. Pressure and blitz are two different things.
There you go. Yeah, good clarification.
Yeah.
Okay, so what can you do? You know, you just mentioned how they played in the fourth quarter. You can hope your offensive line holds up better.
Yeah.
And you can maybe be a little bit more aggressive with your throws, which will invite turnovers. But I think they have to go there with the game plan, don't you? Let's be more aggressive at the start of the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Bobby did me a favor because of the first 15. I tweeted out those numbers. It seems like to me, I kind of felt like that they haven't got off to very good starts. But yeah, you do not need to start this game 7-0 Giants.
Yeah.
You know, you need to make sure that the first time the Giants have the ball, that you get a stop. And then maybe another stop. You have to put pressure. You have to become the team that all of a sudden makes the Giants have to throw the football. Yeah. Make them the team that's one-dimensional. Don't let them make you one-dimensional.
And it's crazy how far the Cowboys' defense has slid so quickly. It was physical teams. It was teams that used great motion at the snap that were giving you problems. But now I kind of feel like this game is to test, can anybody do it? Is a team averaging like 16 points per game about to, you know, host you and put up 30? If that happens, then the confirmation will be there for us on Friday morning that this team has now become one of the absolute worst in the NFL because they can't stop anybody.
Yeah, if they go out there and allow the Giants to run the ball on them like they did against the Commanders, and, you know, give the Giants some hope for hanging in this game, then yeah, that they become one of the teams in the bottom half of this thing that just aren't good enough.
And do you have enough guys that can get open? Like the yards of separation are a key factor as well. You can ask
you got a
Dak
chance
to be
in this game against
more
this
aggressive.
Crew.
You got to be freaking Magic Johnson to thread some of those needles.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, and you're not getting much help. I have something. I do have an advanced metric that does reflect just how poor this particular scheme is. This plan we'll get to
the offense or the defense scheme
for the offense.
Yeah, that's coming up at three.
It really pertains. Yes, it really pertains. Brought us to some of that 15. You know, the first 15 plays.
Yeah.
It's just like it's piggybacking off of that a little bit, and it just.
Am I wrong about that? Do I feel like the start of the game has just not been really good for the Cowboys?
No, you're not wrong at all. I think it's really more than just that. I mean, they turned it on. They got things going a little bit there in that fourth quarter.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it's majority of the offense in general. But the first 15 plays just show you, like, really where their mindset is.
Oh, I
like,
got you.
You know, the first 15 plays just really reveal to you what their whole plan was coming in, what they thought they could be successful at, and what are they doing? They're doing things where it's just their first read is to the running back for a no-yard gain.
Yeah.
They're running the ball a ton early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So their rushing attempts are up, and they haven't been able to actually establish it in any particular way. So,
I mean, the metrics would say more aggression on early downs, right?
Yeah. For sure. I think just more aggression in general.
Yeah. And I think, you know, after all the picks in 2022, there was a, hey, let's turn it over less. And I think Jason Garrett put Dak Prescott at times in a don't turn it over type of mindset. He was, you know, good at that. But I think you need to let the pendulum swing the other way and see if you can, you know, play a little bit more risky and generate some big plays, because you're not going to, like, execute in short chunks consistently. You know, you're not getting the yards in the running game that would allow that strategy to be anywhere close to effective. Kamar Rocker tomorrow, first pitch, 2:37, 2 o'clock pregame. Tonight it's going to be Cody Bradford with the 8:37 first pitch against the A's. Couple cool storylines. Josh Spores making a return and trying to build for next year after being hurt for a lot of this season. Josh Spores, Mr. Only October, we coined him. And Marcus Semien's final series at the Oakland Coliseum is pretty cool.
He's from there. Yeah.
So it's extra neat for him. And then we have an anxious one. Our guy Josh Young says, quote, "I don't want my career to be defined by cortisone injections." So he's taking a step away and trying to get his wrist right. Still bothering him.
Yeah.
And you know how those things can be, so best of luck to him.
Chris Young was talking about a plate that was inserted that's irritating a nerve. And so that's been the big issue right there, that maybe they need to
get that plate out of there.
Get that plate or move it around or do something to make it a little bit stronger. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Baltimore Orioles defeated the Yanks last night. A roar erupted inside their clubhouse at Yankee Stadium shortly after the game as they huddled around to watch the Twins lose to the Marlins, clinching a playoff spot for the O's in the second straight season. And they partied it up. Yeah, you know, that was a big topic last year around this time when the Rangers were partying. I think maybe after beating the O's, they'd won the World Series.
Jackson Holliday had the champagne bottle, but it was a different type of signage on the bottle. It was called Bird Bath Water, 0% alcohol for Orioles under 21. So that's what he was allowed to drink there in the clubhouse.
It. Yeah, you got to be aware. You know, you don't want to put the wrong things out there on social. Next thing you know, Mad's mad at you.
I would kind of like think to put the label on a real bottle like that for him, you know?
You think so?
Just kind of just like make it look, the optics make it look, but who cares?
Brought us. I can confirm. That's exactly what they did.
Did they do that?
Yeah, it's a very obvious champagne bottle that they've just makeshifted into a 0.0 NA.
This UNLV story is epic, isn't it, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
This quarterback, Matt Sluka.
Yeah.
I knew a guy named James Kluka back in the day, but never a Sluka. He left the undefeated Rebels on Tuesday night over claims of unfulfilled verbal NIL promises.
Yeah.
UNLV has released a statement saying, "We didn't promise anybody anything." But his agent, Marcus Cromartie, told ESPN UNLV didn't come through on it of $100,000. And that apparently was a verbal offer from an assistant coach. I'm surprised this doesn't happen a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know if the kids, you know, just wanting to bail on UNLV, but they're 3-0. They're number 23 in the coaches poll, marking the first time the program has been ranked in any major poll ever.
And they still won't pay up, dude. This just really reveals the brokenness of their financial situation. Their bag men are down in a huge way. This is pretty concerning.
Yeah, the collective group.
Pocket watching these guys, yeah, they are down big.
As Dawson said, the collective group put out a big statement and said, hey, we didn't promise anything.
Yeah.
This is but to me, if I'm an alum, I'm thinking of Vegas. I've got some high roller alums, maybe, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
about their alum.
I think Guy Fieri went to school at UNLV. Get Guy Fieri, like, throw in $100,000 and, like, get this kid back?
I would think so. That would be appropriate at a time like this.
I mean, all of a sudden.
Or at least the mayor of Flavortown can do whatever he wants whenever he wants.
I mean, where's Mark Davis? I need Mark Davis here maybe to come in there and say, you know what?
Mark Davis is, I think Fieri's pockets look better than Mark Davis's.
His hair definitely does.
Davis is all tied up in assets.
Yeah.
I don't know what the liquid pocket situation looks like
for Mark. I'm just telling you, man, that somebody's got to step up. Phil Ivey, how about some of your card playing buddies?
I would at least get some threats of mob violence. You know, I don't know if it's poker guys or restaurant guys or whatever, but we need some
Phil
kind Helmuth, of pressure on Sluka.
Somebody's, I mean, we're a top 25 program. We're doing this over $100,000. Come on, man.
Yeah. What'd you just say, Dawson? They're like at the height of their school. This is the most success their school, teams like seen in years.
Well, yeah. And yeah, the basketball though.
No, the basketball. Yeah.
Jerry Tartanian and that crew was pretty rocking back in the day.
Yeah, I'm sure Tark knows somebody that could line that young man's pockets, keep him in the mix.
Tark's still
bless
with
that
us.
Dude's cash app, man.
I don't know. How do you rank the Cowboys' top three issues 3 weeks in? Then your G-Bag of the Day is coming up. Flagtober 2024 is starting Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at the Firewheel Whataburger.
I'll be
It'll
there.
Go all the way until 6 o'clock in Grand Prairie. Yeah, go see Brian a Saturday morning. Get you a new Whataburger flag.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Back in the nation. Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, nation. We're going to have John Owning on the show in about an hour or so. Talk with our guy there from Pro Football Focus. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in about 8 minutes here on The Fan. And Flagtober 2024 is now right around the corner. I want to know from you right now, though, at 877-881-1053, what is the biggest issue that the Cowboys are facing through the first three games? 877-881-1053. Go ahead and leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous right here in the G-Bag Nation. Segment, of course, brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. That's 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. A lot of good text activity coming through here, so appreciate you guys and all the good feedback that you give us. Salute to the Twolos there on Twitch and the YouTube Tolos as well. You guys are great, the YOLOs. Brian, what do you think? Biggest issue through three games for your Cowboys?
Yeah, I think the inability to play run defense at a consistent level. The fact that I said this before in my breakdown of the two games. The Saints game was far more of an ass-kicking than what the Ravens was. The quarterback from the Ravens just is incredible, the way the ball handling, the way he plays. Dallas was in position. I was amazed the number of missed tackles that they had. I was amazed at the
17 of them.
Yeah. I just felt like that, you know, if you make, I'm not saying you're going to make every single tackle against Henry or even Lamar Jackson, But you can't have 17 missed tackles and their inability to play with any consistency defending the run. But make no mistake, this offense needs to get going too.
Okay.
And they showed me signs of that. And I don't mean to just continually throw out points and stuff, but I think the run defense is a huge problem. And their inability to sustain any kinds of drives or get points, especially down the red zone. You know, that's just been a big issue as well.
Yeah, I think that's part of the bummer right now is there's not just one thing. It's not even like you could say, man, if you just fixed your run defense, everything would be, you'd be back to being able to win this division. There's other things that have to be fixed from an offensive standpoint in a big time way. But there is no doubt that the biggest issue is the defense. It is specifically the run defense. They're dead last now in rushing yards given up per game, rushing per play, dead last. They've given up 18 explosive runs in three games. The Ravens had over 160 yards before contact, and then over 110 yards after contact.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's where the missed tackles come into play, but it's just it is like all-time level bad.
Are we missing Dan Quinn?
You know,
would
I think
be better with
this is the last thing he would fix. I mean, even if the defense was playing well otherwise, you know, maybe they would have more takeaways or something like that. But he was never fixing the run defense. That was never a part of his plan.
Do you think maybe lame duck coach has taken the fight or the spirit out of the team?
No, I just don't think they're very good at it.
Yeah, they just don't have good players.
Yeah, I just don't. I think that's the bigger issue there is.
I think that's what it is, too.
I mean, you know, even when they put guys in position to make plays, we've had some misses there. You know, to me, I have a lot of faith in these linebackers, and I love Overshown, and I love his ability and his future. But when he's missing tackles, when Kendricks is missing tackles, Kendricks said it yesterday. He's looking at himself. You know, he's played in this scheme a long time. He should know better. But they're not very good when it comes to how if they could play run defense. Their strength is their ability to rush the passer. That's their strength. You know, they can't get anybody into that situation where they're rushing the passer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like constantly having to defend. Every time you look up, it's second and two, second and one. You know, you can't play winning football that way.
You know, from a coaching standpoint defensively, I think John Owning is going to have a couple of interesting talking points as it pertains to the way they defended Lamar Jackson and those zone reads. And doing more single high safety stuff when it's maybe better to actually do the two high safety so you have guys filling in the alley a little bit better. So I think John will have an interesting perspective on at least some of the coaching tactics, but it's very apparent your players are not any good.
The Athletic looked at it here, number five at the beginning of games. We've been talking about that, the first place, but, you know, scripted on offense. But more than that has been defense, just the absolute marches that the opposition has gone on. I like number four a lot, depth in the passing game. I just think it's really time to reinvest in this wide receiver core and, you know, maybe acknowledge that the disappointment of a guy like Jalen Tolbert is complete. It's final. You know, he's just not good enough.
I will disagree with him on that point, and I understand why they used it, but your best receiver was one of nine catching the ball in the fourth in that game the other day. It was Tolbert. It was, you know, it was Cooks. It was, you know, Turpin. It was Ferguson. To me, I mean, CD was not a factor in the second half of that football game. Your backups were the ones that were carried you into getting that, making that game even being close.
Turpin and obviously Ferguson was huge.
I don't know. Make it say the Ravens.
But is this a wide receiver core that takes you into the playoffs and you have success there?
I'm just saying though that I'm just the point I'm making is I disagree with them because if you watch that game, the backups are the only reason why. Is it a playoff caliber? I thought at one time, yes.
Yeah.
At one time. Now, again, whatever you think about the Ravens' defense, they made plays against that defense. Now, the Ravens might suck on defense, you know, but it wasn't CeeDee Lamb that drove you back into that game. It was everybody else other than named CeeDee Lamb that drove you back into that game.
The running game number three, that's been horrible. I don't think any quarterback could have success with what Dak is dealing with right now. I do not think this is Dak Prescott's fault. I think, you know, it's a way of saying even Patrick Mahomes would be like, what the hell is going on here, guys?
Yeah. You
know, there's no way out of this.
Yeah, it's an awful defense. It's no rushing attack, and it's very, very old and outdated and stale passing game concepts. So,
okay, the lame duck coach is neutered, and the team knows it. See, that's what I do think there's something to that. Yes, the players aren't good enough as a collection, but there's still like five or six guys who can make an all-pro team. There's another five guys after that that could be pro bowlers or have been pro bowlers. And I think, you know, it reminds me a lot of how the Cowboys were playing in 2010 when Wade Phillips was capped midseason. For some reason, you know, it lost all of the spark and the belief. And I think changing head coach is about the quickest way of, you know, giving yourself that sort of head change. Okay, at 877-881-1053, the biggest issue is that the Jones' top priority is not winning. That's from the Grouch in Los Angeles, California. Absolutely. Ownership, you know, says Maverick from Joshua, echoes the same sentiments, Brian.
You've said that a long time ago, and I didn't want to believe you. And I think they want to win, but I think they want to win on their terms.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I never want, I'm like, man, I've lived with this. I was with this organization for 14 years. I know how important it is, but then it just makes me wonder now. And a lot of people have said it, and you were one of the first ones ever to say it. And it unfortunately looks like it's true. And I didn't want to believe it. I really didn't, because I'm like,
it doesn't make sense at first. No, it took me a number of years to come around on before it came into focus.
You know, how bad, you know, they always talk about how bad you want to win, how bad Jerry wants to win, you know, and in the post game, he's apologizing to the fan base. Well, you're the general manager, sir. You know, go, if you see something wrong with your football team, go try and fix it.
Yeah.
Go be that guy. Don't just apologize to your fan base. You know, the way you make your fan base feel better is doing something about it.
Yep.
And that's unfortunately where we're at right now is, you know, you need to go do something about it, and I don't know if they will.
This is a long-distance tease, but coming up at 4:40, I think this whole organization has an obsession with being comfortable and being nice to each other instead of being willing to stop at nothing in order to get wins, and it's why I didn't like CeeDee Lamb's apology last night. More on that coming up at 4:40. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius. Your G-Bag of the Day.
You Cowboys, I tell you what.
The texter was wondering what you think of these guys.
He gave up a long time ago.
For a long time ago. Yeah, 2016. Yeah. 2016, I was out on the Cowboys. That was it for me.
Long time ago.
Right before the season started, too. I didn't watch maybe about two seasons. I probably jumped back in 2020. Hmm. Yeah, around that time. So, been a while for me, man. I've been out, but I do enjoy football, so I do watch.
You came back in 2020 because they were so down. It was just fun to hate watching that year.
No. It's like, oh, okay. I want to see the Cowboys do good, man. That's good for business.
It is.
I'm telling you, I want a new floor in my kitchen. Put some points on the board. Yeah, man, it's good for business, dog.
That's right.
Selfishly. But hey, everybody's a little selfish in this. We're all excited. It's a communal thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
All right, our winner right here. I believe this is day two for Ari Spears.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on the Sage Steele show, and he was showing off his impersonations, and he could do a Tony Soprano, kind of.
What's your best impersonation? Your favorite.
Anything that's new feels like a new child. But I love Tony Soprano because, one, it's a white guy, Italian, and nobody expects you to do that. Ask me a question.
Tony, what did you do with the body?
Like, what's the matter what I did with the body? All the guys are going to bury it. Show Pussy Christopher. They know their position. I'm from the King of New Jersey. I run a underbush. Uncle Junior, Johnny Shaq. Maybe you can bury it behind a bottle of pig. It doesn't matter. It goes where it goes.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm watching your mouth when you do it. Yeah. Is that the key?
Like, like I said, notes. Tony is ish. Talk about my sister, Jadish. Uncle Junior, Johnny Shaq. So then you got to have that metal at AJ. We go down to Arvio, Asubios, Arvio, Kabukas. He's got the better guy with the good gravy.
That's a different language you just spoke.
Hey, He's trying to wow her, bro. If you watch this interview, they're sitting across from each other. She got her little feet out, and they're all up on the couch and everything. He's trying to show off them skills. I can do anything. Hey.
Hey, he came to play, dude. He was in his bag on that.
Nah, he was, man. He's pretty good. Him and, my gosh, what's my guy's name? Godfrey the comedian. Him and Godfrey. Oh, my God. Godfrey is amazing. Let's see here. This isn't one, but it might be. The Padres clinched on a triple play last night.
They did. It was cool.
That was really cool.
It was
triple play
cool.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What's really amazing is the Spanish call of it.
Oh.
Cuadro se queda atrás. Choli segunda. Lanzamiento. Rola por tercera. Machado toma. Pisa. Uno. A segunda. Dos. A primera. Triple play. Yeah, ¡qué juego! ¡Qué cierre! ¡Peliculesco! Los Padres están en playoff con tres outs en la novena. Jugada apretada, los Dodgers van a retar la situación, que revisen la jugada, algo fuera de serie, tres outs en la jugada, Machado toma, pisa, uno, a segunda, dos,
yeah.
Cronia primera, tres, triple play, triple matanza para cerrar la noche en que puede ser la celebración de los Padres.
Shoot, yeah, boy.
It was pretty, too.
Triple play.
Triple play. My man tongue was my pause. My man was...
Segundo.
I wish I could learn that.
Wow,
keep
dude.
That dude away from your girl, by the way. Yeah. That guy. Keep that guy away from your girl. I'm telling you right now. Did you see how fast he was talking?
Well, Sage is like, I'm...
Sage is amazing.
So Sage, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I was watching your list.
She was about to risk it all with the little shoes out and everything. All right, let's see what we got here for you boys. Hey. Old school player was in a Jeep. Looked like he had to keep it running. Keep it moving in order to keep it running.
Okay.
In a sense, okay?
I think I've been there.
So he ran. It's usually that alternator.
The and the
that,
gas.
Alternator, something like that.
Yeah, it's alternator.
Yeah.
I think so.
Let's see. Yeah, so anyway, somebody pulled up on him and was like, hey, man, you're running a whole lot of stop signs. Old school is just ornery about it, though.
Did you see the stop sign beside you? Don't run this one over.
That stop sign, that's my damn stop sign. I run the stop woman run.
You
see the
cop
behind me.
Yeah, but you ran the one behind you. Don't run this one over.
Is you the police?
No.
Okay, then. What the you worried about what I ran for?
I'm just saying, all wheels supposed to be stopped.
They still stop. They stop when I get ready for them to stop. I'm going to run this motherfucker. You don't get the out of my way. I'm going to run into that too.
Man, be careful, man. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Go ahead, bro. You got it. You got to play it.
All
bad.
Good. Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Hey.
That's the best end to one of those I've heard.
Man, them old school cats be on Ray.
Yeah, they
definitely not to all center. What is it then, bro? My starter? It's not my starter. My starter, like, it struggles when I try to start it. Alternator keeps the damn thing kind of going in a sense, right?
They got a belt problem, maybe?
Yeah, the motor has to keep going.
Okay.
That's if your battery's all right.
Listen, bro, I just know they're all in the same, in a sense. You change one, you're going to end up changing another pretty soon. You change that starter, the alternator's going to go out. Yeah. You change the alternator, the starter's going to go out.
Yep.
And if you put a fresh battery in there, they're both going to go out.
Pick your poison.
And we got time now. That's it, bro.
Man, I was playing cards in Vegas last time I was there with these old guys, and it was like grumpy old men against one another.
They're
was
so
like,
mean.
How can you be so aggressively talking to one another?
It's so mean to each
right?
other.
At my age, if one of us starts talking like that to the other one, the other one's going to stand up and be like, dude, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
What you want to do? You want to crash on out right here? Is this it?
At some age, you can stop standing up and just keep barking.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy insults.
Forget about this guy over here. I'll give you a knuckle sandwich, buddy.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, okay, that was awesome.
Ari Spears, Tony Soprano impersonation. Is it the Padres triple play?
Somebody said the carburetor. Bro, they ain't made them since 85?
Been a long time.
Maybe that's how old the car
was. Hey, that's
when
you could work on cars, though, for real. They had those joints, you can work on cars. Now you can't work on it.
Yeah.
You got to take apart 30 pieces just to get to one little thing.
When I first started driving, that was the thing. When your car would break down, you would just kind of get together with your buddies and figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got a starter. I think I need a...
Crescent Ranch or something.
That's
I'm not sure.
That's right. You rode your bicycle all those years.
I'll go by Napa and pick up the part and come by after work.
You'd be out there all Saturday afternoon.
All night. Yeah.
Yeah, 12-pack of beer. We're going to figure this out, boys. Somebody pull on. I can't get it.
Or is it the old school playa in a Jeep? Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Ari Spears there still. Chief, how about you? I like the Sopranos a lot.
Yeah, I think I am as well, man.
Lucius?
Sure, I'll do that too. Peer pressure.
Padres triple play.
Hey.
By a score of 3-1, still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Ari Spears there.
Flux capacitor. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, catalytic converter.
I couldn't get flux my gigawatts.
Doc Brown will get you right. Yeah. Let's talk some Mavs. Is Jason Kidd underrated going into year? Is this four? Year four with the Mavs? What do you think about his ranking amongst the best coaches in the league? That's next in the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Congrats to Ari Spears for winning G-Bag of the Day once again. If you ever miss the G-Bag of the Day, Lucius replays it for you every evening at 5:40 inside of LA Live. Okay, would you like some Mavs content?
Man, we've been getting peppered with, where's the Mavs? Where's the Mavs? Where's the Mavs?
Nice.
Let's do it.
I think people are excited to, you know, talk about our contender, a team, you know, Rangers obviously was amazing last year. And, you know, since then, it's been kind of disappointing other than, you know, what the Stars and Mavs were able to do for us in the spring. So I think this is the most excited we've been for a season in a long time for the Mavs. Like, I don't know if you can, I think you got to go back to the Dirk years for this feeling of anticipation. Like, no, this could actually be our year. I mean, last year could have been, but we didn't know it.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot more confidence that you can really do something here. You always knew it was possible when you have Luka, when you have Kyrie, anything's really on the table. But now it's like now the expectation's there that you're at least back in the Western Conference Finals.
I feel like they would have already been champions if it wasn't for Jrue Holiday ending up with the Boston Celtics. That's how much I think of this Mavericks team, Brian.
Man, I kind of felt like that if Derek Lively would have had maybe 3 years under his belt of NBA action, that might have been a different series too.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the first thing.
He's
is like,
my hope.
How's the pendulum swing in your favor? Did Klay Thompson do enough to bridge the gap to how good Boston was? And maybe Lively in year two?
Yeah.
I think you need a jump from Jaden Hardy.
Yeah. I am really excited to see Lively play.
Yeah.
And you know, how his offseason and then, you know, this team has got a shot. They really do. I know the West has got some heavyweights in it, but man, I like what their five are right now. But you keep mentioning about the defensive stuff. Now you got three guys on the court that are, you know, below.
See, that's the concern, I think, with putting faith in Klay Thompson. I just don't know how much he can play. I think you look at it like we want Klay on the court when Luka or Kyrie comes out. Give us playmaking, give us some offense. But your ability to put four good defenders on the court and sort of win like that, I think with that strategy, I think it's still left to be determined if Klay Thompson is going to be a net win for this basketball team. Am I too pessimistic about that, Chief?
No, I don't think you're too pessimistic. I think there plenty of things are on the table with the way this could go for Klay Thompson. So and defensively now you're just hoping he's not a liability. Can you just be at least serviceable and average? But you need that three ball to be working for him in a huge way.
Yeah.
And he's going to be set up for success offensively. Like, I don't really want him trying to be playmaker guy. He was asked to do too much of that there towards the end in Golden State because it's like, man, it got to a point where it's just Steph and Klay. So you got to go do a lot. Now it's going to be made easy for him offensively. And as long as he hasn't lost his three-point shot, I think you're still going to be okay. You have enough reinforcements to where in any given moment, any type of game situation where you need defenders on the floor, you have it. But I still think that the Klay Thompson three ball will be enough to make up for whatever his D liability is.
Yeah, and I don't know what the number is that he's got to shoot above to have that be true. But, I mean, if he can go 42, 43%, something like that, he should have a lot of wide open corner looks. That's possible. But the first story here in, you know, you're around the Mavs or whatever, is that Jason Tatum said he knew they were going to win the championship when Denver was eliminated by Minnesota. He just said that the Mavs don't have enough offensive firepower. And I think them getting Drew Holiday from the Milwaukee Bucks essentially after the trade through Portland and then to Boston effectively swung the balance of power in a way that I wouldn't even come close to considering that the Mavs could beat the Celtics at this point. I have to see some sort of development, and I just don't know how that's going to happen because the way that the Celtics play basketball, it's well established. They haven't lost any key players. And, you know, I don't think this is going to be much of a dynasty era in basketball, but I think Boston here can go on a little bit of a run until the luxury tax and maybe contracts start catching up with them. Ranking every head coach going into the season is what CBS Sports did. And they put Jason Kidd in the middle of the pack, saying he has grown more flexible in Dallas and didn't get enough credit for the work he did in 2022, outmaneuvering Monty Williams in the second round against Phoenix. Last season's playoff run was as much or more of a function of Nico Harrison's masterful job of rebuilding the roster, though.
Man, I don't know.
Saying OKC defined the terms of engagement in the second round. The Minnesota series had much more to do with the inherent mismatches and Luka Doncic's late games dominance than Jason Kidd. They're going after a guy here pretty good, Brian. I would think he deserves more respect than that.
I would hope so, too. I would, you know, and man, it doesn't seem it's about the players, but it's about the players showing up every night. But, man, he gets his teams ready to play. And, you know, the series that they won, I mean, the Oklahoma City series, the Minnesota series, you're thinking, man, they got no shot. And I think that, yeah, the players were great, but I think he did a tremendous job of understanding how his team was, the conditions they were, how they were playing, the rotations he used. You know, he doesn't always come off as a great post-game talker.
No.
But I think in that locker room, his players totally get him.
Yeah, they play defense for him.
Yeah, they play. And
the way he brought that group together in 2022 was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. And, I'd like to believe that he deserves more credit than, you know, and these writers, we all make mistakes. You know, we vote and say things the wrong way. I just think somebody needs to step up and give him a lot more credit for the job that he's done the last, say, 3 years.
I think he's had the perfect way of managing Luka Doncic and sort of letting him be him, but at key moments, stepping up and saying, bro, you got to defend.
When have we, you know, remember when Kyrie signed here, it was like, oh, damn, here, get ready for the first blow up. Here we go. Things are going to, you know, and we haven't even thought about something like that. You know, your coach is the one that kind of keeps the locker room, the harmony there and all that. And I think it's disappointing that they didn't give him a little bit more credit for how he's managed a lot of situations, the sale of a team, all these things that kind of came into an inexperienced general manager. Man, there's some things that could have got really sideways here, and I think he did a really nice job with it.
Yeah, he's taken two different rosters to the Western Conference Finals, and then obviously this latest one was actually to the NBA Finals, but where was he actually ranked again? It was 16th or 18th or something? I mean,
yeah, it was like they did a tiered thing, and it was like 15th, 16th. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But, you know, I think Jason Kidd definitely did a lot to build up a negative narrative about him with his stops in Brooklyn and in Milwaukee. And, you know, people are kind of dug in that they don't believe he's a good head coach. But I think we've seen up close and personal here in Dallas. You have a lot of things to appreciate. 214 says, stop pretending Luka wasn't hurt. And that wasn't a huge factor. I mean, I think it was a factor at times. But he proved several times after getting hurt that he was capable of still playing at a high level. To me, again, I think the biggest factor is Drew Holiday. And you see the impact that he has with Team USA. You know, does Team USA win the gold medal? It's like his ability to lock up a great player. But more than that, the way that he keeps his team coordinated in a team defense, it just seems like a basketball team is much more difficult to score on once Drew Holiday is out there. And it's not a coincidence at all that they won the championship in the Bucks with him. And then he goes, they can't get out of the first round. Obviously Giannis was hurt, but they won't be the same without him. They're, you know, they got a major roster reconstruction around because they didn't appreciate the impact that Drew Holiday had and let him go for outside shooting, essentially, in Damian Lillard. NFL News of the Day coming up next, Chief. What were you teasing?
Well, we'll empty out the NFL Insider Notebook, and we have some damning evidence on old Big Mike. That's next here in the Nation.